Hi, I'm Reverend Hayley and I'm one of the regional ministers here in the South Wales Baptist Association. And today I want to explore with you what it's like to get God's perspective on things in our everyday life. It's interesting that C.S. Lewis talks about God's perspective of like being on a different dimension. So he says, imagine a piece of paper with a little stick man drawn on it. That little stick man would really struggle to begin to understand the fingers that have drawn it, how they've drawn it, how thick they are, let alone the world that the artist is walking around in. And in the same way, we as God's creative beings see life through a totally different dimension and perspective to him. Now I want to share with you two of the coolest passages in the Bible, in my opinion. That's 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 8 to 23 and Matthew chapter 28 verses 16 to 20.
Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said,
I will set up my camp in such and such a place.
The man of God sent word to the king of Israel.
Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there.
So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them,
tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?
None of us, my lord the king,
said one of his officers.
But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom.
Go, find out where he is,
the king ordered,
so I can send men and capture him.
The report came back.
He is in Dothan.
Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city.
Oh no, my lord! What shall we do?
The servant asked.
Don't be afraid,
the prophet answered.
Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.
And Elisha prayed.
Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see.
Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord,
strike this army with blindness.
So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them,
this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for.
And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said,
Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see.
Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha,
shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them,
he answered.
Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink, and then go back to their master.
So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age.
The whole of 2 Kings 6 is, well, weird. It's a strange world where boys are returned to life, where miracles of provision take place, where military leaders get healed in acts of strange obedience, where nature stops acting like nature and gravity forgets what should happen to axe heads. It feels a very long way from our world. But when I think about it, it's not a long way from the accounts of Jesus and the Gospels, where Jesus heals people, raises the dead, defines natural laws by walking on water, calms the storm with a word, feeds thousands with scraps of food. And in both parts of the Bible, the Old and New Testament, God speaks to the powers of the day and reminds them that they are not in sole control. There's areas beyond themselves where God is God. It's a challenge because most of us only see the world through our normal lenses, the lens that decides what can happen and what can't happen. And so when we look at the passage in 2 Kings, we can find ourselves closer to the servant of the man of God rather than to the man of God, the prophet. The servant believes his eyes, the prophet sees beyond his eyes. The wider picture is that God has been telling Elisha where the rival king armies are going to strike. So Elisha then goes to the king of Israel and explains to him. So the king of Israel goes, strengthens that part of the territory. So they're always one step ahead of anyone trying to attack them. So politically, he's very helpful to the king of Israel. But you can just kind of imagine the life of his servant. As things get more and more political, he gets more and more nervous. I imagine when he decided to go and serve Elisha the prophet, he thought, oh, do you know what? Have a nice little life of ministry. Help the prophet as he goes and helps people and brings nice words of God to them. But somehow, this servant has found himself right in the middle of a potential civil war between two rival kings. To make things even more intense, the rival king in this account has just clocked on to who's responsible for his army's defeat, and he's on his way. Suddenly, this servant's not living the dream life of ministry that he might have hoped for. And so you can feel the fear rising as we read the account. He goes out early in the morning and the city is completely surrounded by an army with horses and chariots, all looking for him and Elisha. There's no way out. So this guy's terrified. He comes back to Elisha and the Bible says, he says this, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Makes it sound rather calm, doesn't it? And polite. But I imagine it was like, "Master, what the heck are we going to do? They're surrounding us." Elisha says to him, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than are with them." Elisha has God's perspective. And in that moment, when any human would be completely freaked out, he has hope. And so he prays that his servant would be able to see the situation from God's perspective. There's an amazing moment where he prays and the servant's eyes are opened. Suddenly, he's able to see what's really going on. And God has got them totally covered. Because in the natural, they're completely surrounded, outnumbered. But in the supernatural, the hills are filled with the angel armies. Angels of the Lord sent to protect them. When the servant's eyes are opened, he's able to see things from God's perspective. His fear goes away and he begins to hope again. The first reason we need to seek God's perspective on our everyday life is that God's perspective dispels our fear and offers us hope. You might think, what has that got to do with me? That's an elaborate account, but let's be honest, our lives contain those moments where we feel surrounded on all sides. And in those moments, there are two choices. Either we be like the servant and see the armies all around us and let fear rule our hearts. Or we'd be like Elisha, looked up, looked to the hills to see what God was up to in that moment and find our hope restored, our fears dispelled. We will always find ourselves with that choice to see the angel army or not. And it all hinges on whether we look up or not. You see this so often in the Psalms, don't you? Which is when David is so often freaking out because all his enemies are coming to attack him and he feels surrounded on every side. He remembers the Psalms, he looks up. So often, all the craziness of going on around him in the Psalms, David ends with, "And yet I have hope. Yet I trust in you, I rest in your care." He starts freaked out like the servant, remembers to look up, and then he has hope again. And that choice is the same for us. Will I have the eyes of the servant or the eyes of a prophet? When I used to do youth ministry, there was a game we used to play with the youth, which was the ice cube challenge. And we used to give the youth an ice cube and see who could hold it for the longest time. Because it actually really hurts when you're holding an ice cube for a moment. It really starts to hurt and then it stings a bit. And some youth would just give up because it hurt. But the youth that would win would work out, well, eventually it's going to melt. They had a different perspective. They were able to hold on to that ice cube because they knew what certainly was going to happen. And when we seek after God's perspective on different situations in our lives, we discover what is certain to happen. The ice will certainly melt. The angel armies are certainly going to deliver us. The financial difficulties will come to pass. The job problem that I just can't figure out will come to pass. It's the certainty we gain when we get God's perspective. If Elisha hadn't have looked up and gained God's perspective in that moment, he would have given in to fear and despair. But seeking God's perspective gives this hope that blasts our fears away and gives us life even in the most darkest of moments. We don't need to read the Bible to know that there are situations and forces out there that make our lives difficult. We read the Bible to know that those forces have been defeated. When we see the world through God's perspective, our dragons, our difficult situations get a whole lot smaller. We learn to hope. Let's jump back into the account because God's perspective has changed everything for Elisha and his servant. And all of a sudden, the tables are turned. So what is going on with the army that's come to capture them? Well, they've been sent out potentially on the easiest mission in the world. Capture a prophet. It's like one guy and his servant. And they have the whole army which surrounded the whole city. And they must think that they're cruising. This is an easy day's work. Then all of a sudden, the entire army is struck blind and they're stumbling around, freaking out, not knowing what's going on. Suddenly, all together, their eyesight gets restored and they realise they're right in the middle of the enemy territory. And they're looking straight at the king that they've been trying to destroy. These guys are now having an absolute nightmare. This is like the worst day in the office possible. Can you imagine that moment looking up in the king? And you're like praying your last prayers goodbye. Then you hear Elisha say, "Nah, let's not kill them. Let's give them a massive feast." I think for a moment you might have thought you'd gone totally crazy or that you're hearing things. But before you know it, you're being entertained by the king at the best feast you've ever had. And then you're sent home to your family and to your king. This is a crazy day for the army. So here's my question. Why does Elisha offer his captures a feast? Why not kill them? Well, again, it's God's perspective. I think God's perspective shows us how to live. When we seek God's perspective on situations we're facing, we make choices that don't naturally reflect human choices in that moment. We make choices that honour God. We make choices that allow us to act more wisely than we could ever do living in our human perspective. You see, Elisha could have had all of those captures killed, but offering them a feast not only shows the grace of God, but it instigates political peace and stability between two rival kings. It's an absolutely, utterly genius move. The Bible tells us at the end of the passage that when the man returned to tell their stories, the bands of Aaron stopped invading Israel's territory. This is like such a wise moment for the kingdom. Seeking God's perspective in that moment taught him that gentleness is so much stronger than force. God's perspective shows us how to live, and the Bible is full of this incredible wisdom and strategy about how we live our lives. But it's so much more than an instruction manual or a guidebook on how to live. I actually don't like it when people do that with the Bible, when they think it's all about do's and don'ts, a rule book. Because being a Christian is not about doing or not doing something. It's about learning to understand why God doesn't want us to do certain things or to do other things. The Bible is about learning to see the world as God sees it, to see the moments of potential around us, to see the angel armies, to learn to view people in God's eyes. Because when we do that, we start to live in colour. Everything takes on new possibilities. And every single person we meet, some of whom, because when we do that, we start to live in colour. Everything takes on new possibilities, and every single person we meet is someone whose God's heart is bursting for. You see, part of God's design is that we are his sons and daughters, and he wants us to live in a way that leaves a fingerprint on this world. He wants us to live with a heavenly perspective from a heavenly power, and living out of that perspective of his is something we continually learn to grow and do all of our lives. It's a mixture of actually seeking God's strategy in our lives. It's like when the king turns to Elisha and says, "Shall we kill them?" And he pauses. He says, "No, let's give them a feast." There are moments when we need to check for God's perspective. And the more we get to know God, the better our instincts become for us. As Christians, it becomes natural for us to see things as God sees them, as they really are. This is the active and transformative side of prayer, because when we pray, we don't just get to know God, but we become more and more like him, learning to see the world as he sees it, the people we meet every day, the way God sees them. The more time we spend with God, the more time we read the Bible, the more we get to know him, and therefore the more we see the world from his perspective. Jesus does this all the time in the gospel accounts. He's always telling his disciples, "I only do what I see the Father doing." In every moment, he's seeking God's perspective, and the Father shows him where to go, who to speak to, what to do, and who not to speak to. Like Elisha looked up and got this crazy kingdom strategy of giving a feast, Jesus is continually looking up and checking out what the Father is doing. And so often you see the disciples and they view the world as humans do. So there is moments when they think a certain outcome is inevitable. And then Jesus flips the switch. Like the feeding of 5,000, human perspective tells us that 5 loaves and 2 fish aren't going to feed 5,000 people. But Jesus looks at it, everything changes. There's a great moment when the disciples and Jesus are totally exhausted. They've been on the go for days and they just need to rest, and the crowds have come to see Jesus, and the disciples are like, "No, we need to stop." Jesus looks up, he sees what the Father's doing, and he goes into the crowd. You see, viewing life from God's perspective was so instinctive to Jesus. It was so natural, so incredibly intentional about seeking the Father and spending time with him. This is why Jesus so often goes and spends like a whole night in prayer, trying to figure out what God is saying. Because the Father calls us to live in this world in an alternative way, in a way that's based on faith. And Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20 is not just a text that is simply a rally call to the church. but it's the ideas put into action. It's a promise that the risen Lord Jesus will be with us wherever we go, beyond the boundaries of our known world, beyond our comfortable relationships, beyond the expectations of culture, to invite people to be reconciled with God who created all of this for his glory. Let me be honest with you, friends. Following Jesus is unsettling. He doesn't adapt his call to our expectations. He adapts us to his. And I think we need to be intentional in seeking after God's perspective so that we can put the stuff of Matthew 28 into action. What would it look like if, as you entered a room, you looked to God? What's his perspective on this? When you walked into the office on a Monday morning and said, what's God doing today? What does Jesus want me to say to someone that's encouraging this week? What does God really think about the person sitting next to me? And as our eyes get focused on what God's doing, we'll see where he's working. And then we're able to partner with him in that. My prayer and my hope is that all of us as a Baptist family across South Wales would live with God's perspective, where we can face those difficult situations in our life with a certainty. I want us to be able to walk into a room and look around and say, Jesus, what are you doing here? And move and act in that. Together, let's not be afraid of the situations around us, but let's partner in the gospel with God's perspective, loving us.